Hello and welcome to The Logistics Tribe. I'm Boris Felgendreher, founder of The Logistics Tribe, and today's show is hosted by Marco Prügelmeier. His guest today is Carsten Keil. Carsten heads up group IT and digitization at Schnellecke Logistics. Schnellecke is a traditional, family-owned logistics provider based in Germany, but operating globally with a very sizable footprint in the automotive space. We were curious to find out how Schnellecke is incorporating innovations and new technologies to stay relevant in the marketplace. Let's jump right in. Here comes Carsten Keil from Schnellecke Logistics. Enjoy.
Hello, Carsten. Welcome to the Logistics Tribe.
Hello, Marco. Nice to meet you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, that's great. I was actually looking forward to our conversation because we both have worked in logistics and innovations. And it's always good to talk to somebody that is kind of on the same track. So I'm very much looking forward to that, Carsten.
You're welcome.
But for our audience, would you maybe like to introduce yourself a little bit and what you are doing at Schnellecke?
Yeah, thank you, Marco. I'm working for Schnellecke Logistics. It's a global logistics service provider working in automotive industry, and I'm responsible vice president for IT and digitization. And with me is a very nice team of 150 people are working around the world, from the design of IT service and to the implementation and the running of the services. And we are delivering all the IT services to Schnellecke Logistics globally. And that means we are developing kind of software. We are implementing standard software such as SAP ERP systems. Mm-hmm. And we are also managing and planning complex IT infrastructure, IT security, and one part of my organization is also to drive the digitization inside Schnellecke. Mm-hmm. And that is new for us because we are influencing also the digital culture inside Schnellecke. We educate digital trainees, digital agents. We do ideation and innovation workshops all over the world. And for sure, our task is to find smart solutions to improve our business and to make Schnellecke fit for the future.
Mm-hmm. When did you start with this kind of innovation work, and what was the reason that you have it combined with the IT department?
Yeah, we started more or less 5 years ago with the digital innovation management, and why we placed this in IT. That's simple. All our processes are led by IT. No mm-hmm. process is running without IT. And the expectation of our board is that IT pushes the digitization inside Schnellecke Logistics.
Yeah. And nowadays, there's basically no more innovation without IT, right? So
that's the truth.
Yeah, it's all IT. What are the main parts that you are working on? So what are the main innovations that you take care of and then that come to your mind when talking about innovation?
We have to separate. If we speak about innovation management, then we have to separate that into two slices. First slice is the business evolution. That means bringing permanent innovation to our business with smart technology to improve quality, to improve the cost efficiency and so on. And on the other side, this is the second slice, we will create new business opportunities with digital business models to prepare Schnellecke for the future, to create in the future revenue with digital businesses.
So, okay. And what are the technologies that you're taking a look at to do that?
Different kind of technologies. We are following the global trends of innovation in general and what trends are impacting the logistics in global. We have to separate between short-term and long-term trends. And if I look to the short-term trends, we see the following trends as relevant. At first, the IoT. IoT has the potential to connect virtually anything to anything and accelerate data-driven logistics. In the second, we see all about data standards and advanced analytics. That means clean master data to increase the quality of the analysis of the collected data and to use them in a meritocratic way, for example, for predictions. The third trend, what we see and what we have in focus, is the real-time supply chain visibility. And that means establish full transparency in the supply chain in real time, supported for sure by IoT to enable significantly better planning, optimize costs, and increase resilience in the processes. And in the fourth, we see the warehouse robotics. 80% of all warehouses worldwide are manually operated today. Gripping and sensor technology is developing very quickly and offers more and more possible applications. The objective is a deep collaboration between humans and the robots.
Does that mean AMRs, like autonomous mobile transports, or is it also handling robotics that you are taking a look at?
It's both. It's both. We need the AMRs, for improving the material flow inside our warehouse from A to B. And we need also robotics, and we experienced some cases with robotics, for example, for packaging or for preparing packaging. So it's all about robotics.
And if we stick to the AMR topic for a second, because there is a big discussion going on about AGVs versus AMRs. So did you already, or are you taking already the jump from traditional AGVs to AMRs? And if yes, why are you doing it? So what are the advantages that you experience?
If you speak about the AGVs, then you mean the guided vehicles on the floor with the stickers, right?
Right. With just line following
just
function.
Line.
So the traditional sort of AGVs.
And in comparison to AMRs, there's a huge difference between the flexibility. And what we see is the following the trends, what we see on the market is that our business expects in the future more and more flexibility. We have in our digital strategy one vision. It's called we organize our logistics in the future dynamic, self-optimized on a really high level. And to reach this goal, we need AMRs instead of classical AGVs, because with AGVs you have no really the chance to optimize the flow of the material in the warehouse.
Because you're actually depending on an integration company that sets up the system, and then you're basically stuck with this system that never changes again. And that's something that a lot of people are not seeing, this flexibility issue. And I'm always wondering why some people are still sticking to the old traditional AGV type of vehicles, even if there might be some use cases where it's still enough to have an AGV. But I clearly see the future in AMRs. And I was actually glad to hear, because we were discussing a little bit before, that you are actually working with my former employee, with Idealworks, about a pilot project.
Yes, and really the big advantage what we see with the AMR from Idealworks, for example, is the navigation. The navigation is not fixed to a topology that you have in place in your warehouse. It can change from day to day because of removing parts, containers, and so on in the warehouse. And this flexibility is necessary for the future. And also, if you speak about holistic material flow optimization, We can just have success at the end if we use AMRs instead of AGVs.
Yeah, I see it exactly the same. We're on the same track here. You mentioned the IoT part and the transparent supply chain. And I read that you're also doing a lot with smart containers and tracking of containers. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. We started 3-4 years ago with a startup to identify what can we improve in our processes to track the material without building an infrastructure on our side or on customer side where we deliver the material. And we found out that sensor technology, the cyber sensoric, is a very good way to do this. And based on the first ideas, we started with an MVP, with a minimum viable product. Mm-hmm. And we learned from that MVP and readjusted the scope of work. And finally, we track most of our just-in-sequence trolleys, which are in flow between our logistics centers and the customer assembly line by this sensor technology. And the huge impact is we really increase the quality level. We have really zero PPM now in those processes. And at the end, it's decreased also the necessary communication between the operational sites on customer and on our side, which is at the end waste. Yeah, just communication to ask, hey, is the trolley in line? Is it delayed or whatever? It's waste of all of us. Yeah. And we are really proud to have this inside our portfolio and to make it as a standard for our business.
And what about the really fancy things, Carsten, like blockchain or drones? Are you also taking a look at those technologies?
Blockchain, we see it as a trend in the future, maybe in 5 to 10 years, not for now. It depends on our Schnellige business, which is more or less closed in contract logistics, but in case of innovating the whole supply chain from the first tier over the logistic provider, over the carrier till the OEM, then we see huge potential to work with blockchain, because blockchain is really a smart technology to switch from a centralistic database to a decentralized shared system. And this is very helpful, especially in times when we see an increasing number of cyber attacks in the moment. Yeah. And the centralized system, if this is infected by a cyber attack, then no one can work with it. But if it's a decentralized system and based on blockchain, then we have a better resilience in the processes.
Did you actually already encounter some cyber attacks at Schnellecke, or at least attempts to do that?
For the moment, no. No, we are registering day by day, for sure, trials to do the attacks. But knocking on wood, for the moment, we are really, really safe.
Okay. So, but there are signals that the trials are getting more and more in quantity, probably, and that this could be an issue for the future. And that,
yes,
blockchain could have some advantages there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See that.
Yeah. And if you ask me about drones is also very interesting to us. We did a trial in one location for inventory management. You know, we do inventory management in most of our locations by human beings, yeah, and that creates cost, that creates workload, and so on. And we see really nice potential to use drones for inventory management, especially if you plug tags, yeah, or RFID tags on your boxes. Then you can fly through the warehouse and scan the tags very fast, and you can really speed up the total time of taking a general inventory process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds interesting, because you what you basically do with the inventory count is you see is the right box at the right spot at the right place in the warehouse.
Yeah.
And with the drone, you're basically, as I understood it, you're flying by and you are reading the tags, and you can probably also match up some, I don't know, some markers or so with the camera to detect if the tag or the load unit is on the right place.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
It depends on the way of inventory you do, but you're right. We can also compare the storage location, yeah, the physical mm-hmm. and the system based one, and there we can find out very quickly mistakes, and we can correct it, and that improves also our logistics quality.
How about augmented reality and virtual reality? Does this play a role already?
Yeah. We use both of that technology. The virtual mm-hmm. reality, especially for training issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to...
So onboarding?
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly, uh-huh. Marco. Yeah, especially for onboarding processes, it's really, really helpful for us. You mm-hmm. know, we are working in Mexico, which is really a nice yeah. country. And in Mexico, we have really trouble with the fluctuation, with the turnover of personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And to decrease the costs for the onboarding, we use virtual reality. And it is really a good tool, yeah, to teach the people and to bring them in really short time from the entrance of the company to the shop floor to do a great job.
Do you have any data already on that? So how much quicker or how much better a training could be or something? Do you get any experience about that already?
The training... the time increases around 20 to 30%.
Oh, that's huge,
right. Really.
Mm-hmm.
And the augmented reality is in use. I don't know if you know, we were the first one as a logistic provider in automotive industry who has launched the Google Glass for sequencing processes.
Yes, I know. I actually got the chance to see it.
Really?
Yeah. We did.
Yeah.
Then we had an exchange and we could see that. Huh?
Ah, nice. Yeah.
With the picking process, and I think it was together also with some RFID technology, if I remember it right, or some
right
some wristband, right, that detected the right box or the right item to take to.
Right. And I like this technology really much, because it combines the human intelligence with automated AI-based processes. And that is an mm-hmm. unbeatable alliance from my point of view.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so intuitive, right? You just use the glasses and you can immediately start. And there is not really much to know. You get the right numbers into your display, and you know how to take the parts, and that makes it very easy and very suitable for this use case of picking parts.
That is right.
And did you roll that out, the AR picking use case?
We rolled it out to South Africa in the past, and also to Mexico from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
The experience we made were different. In Germany and South Africa, they work really well with the system. In Mexico, where we have really hot temperature outside mm-hmm. and inside the warehouses, we got some trouble with the accu and with the device. It was heating up a lot.
Because of the temperatures, that's always the thing with innovations. You always occur some fancy things that you were not thinking about before, right?
And
then you have to deal with it. Yeah.
That's right. And some of the users didn't accept the technology. That's why we cut it off in that cases. But in in some use cases, it makes sense and it's really, really helpful for us.
Another big topic where I would be really interested in your opinion on that is autonomous trucks and how would they influence us in logistics in the future? How fast do you see that coming? And what is your opinion in general on the topic of autonomous trucks?
I see a huge potential in it, yeah, with the technology and the ever increasing investment in development of sensors and vision technologies like the Google Glass, yeah, or something else. Mm-hmm. Self-driving capabilities will transform the way car vehicles are assembled, operated, utilized, and serviced. I see self-driving vehicles will upgrade logistics by unlocking new levels of safety, efficiency, and quality. What I see, if you ask me directly, as an opportunity, well, faster, more efficient transport thanks to optimized routing, greater lane density, 24/7 operation. There will be also a better road safety and operational productivity as human error is eliminated. Mm-hmm. And there will be an environmental impact due to more efficient fuel consumption. What I see also are challenges about autonomous trucks. At first, the legal restrictions in countries, states can slow adoption. Mm. Also security and safety concerns about the detrimental consequences of potential hackers and software bugs. And at the end, potential job losses and the need to upskill the people affected by driverless vehicles. This is the last point is at the end also an advantage. Yeah, if we look to some market where we have trouble to gain new people from the market to hire talents, it is also really helpful to have autonomous trucks in the future.
Yes, and there is already in Germany and in the US especially, there is also right now a huge shortage on truck drivers.
Absolutely. As I know from last month in Germany, the shortage of truck drivers is around 60,000 people. That's a huge number.
Yeah, and that's huge, and that could actually get to a real problem for logistics.
Yeah,
and their autonomous trucks could probably help a lot. Are you already experiencing with first use cases, maybe on a trailer yard or something like that, where you got fenced areas?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, because this will probably come in the near future that you start in your own yard, let's say for the last docking onto the dock levels or something like that.
Yeah,
and I know it from one company that I'm working with. They are doing the teleoperations for those kind of autonomous trucks, but only in fenced areas already. And this seems to be quite promising already.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned also, Carsten, the issue of sustainability. What is Schnellecke doing on that part to get more sustainable processes?
Oh, we do a lot. About sustainability, we have to understand what Schnellecke understands with sustainability. At the end, Schnellecke is trying day by day to improve the service quality, to create really successful and sustainable business activities. And the long-term success of our company also depends on how early we identify risk and opportunities at an early stage, and that we consistently comply with laws, regulations, ethical principles, and voluntary commitments. We commit ourselves and our suppliers and service providers to apply the same principles to ensure sustainable business, including environmental protection, human and labor rights of employees, transparency in business relationships, fair market conduct, due diligence to promote responsible raw material supply chains, and integration of sustainability requirements into organization processes, and last but not least, to the systems. We already operate green IT. You know what it means. We use renewable energies We have had in the past virtualized all the servers. We use photovoltaics to get the power supply to the data centers. And we have already been using e-trucks, electronic trucks, in selected areas for several years, where timed transports with a fixed route take place, and we can implement a charging station at the end and at the beginning of the route. Sustainable action is an integral part of our strategy and is reflected in our vision, mission, and value proposition, particularly in logistics, where many partners, including competitors, work hand in hand with each other, and that is a challenge to enforce our own sustainability requirements. In the end, the entire supply chain is only as sustainable as its weakest link is positioned. That's my point of view.
And the green IT issue, I think that's quite interesting, because the IT consumption part of energy, I think it's not negligible, right? I think there's quite some energy consumed by all the servers and so on.
For sure. We have 5,000 workplaces all around the world, and we have around 800 servers in total, and they consume a lot of energy. And with the way to go green IT, with the decision to bring the power supply to a sustainable level, we took a huge step to decrease our carbon footprint. And we measure it,
You mentioned, or coming back again to the autonomous trucks issue, because that is really something that I'm thinking a lot of. Just your opinion, could it be that this opens new possibilities for the OEMs of the trucks, so for the autonomous trucks in the future, so that they actually will act as a shipping forwarder? Do you see that as a threat for the traditional forwarder companies?
Yeah, we see this as a general threat, All the logistics integrators, that means the OEMs of the autonomous trucks, or also the forklift, the material handling systems, as more as they automate their system and as more as they bring autonomous smartness inside, that will really create a threat to keep our existing business. Because the technology allows us, as you said, to build services as our competitor in the future. We speak in our strategic meetings since a couple of years about this threat, and we try to generate opportunities based on this development of the market. What we see as a big challenge is, and as an opportunity, is to create platforms to manage that technology. And manage means hardware independent. In case every material handling supplier brings his own steering platform on the shop floor, then it will really challenging the users at the end, because they have to work in several kind of steering platforms. But if we have multi-platform available, independent from the hardware, then it can create an advantage of Schnellige's business for the future.
Yeah, like hardware agnostic platforms that that are in the cloud, right?
That's right.
And, but do you see that only? Are you talking now about the shop floor or about the trucks, the autonomous trucks, and the steering or the coordination of those trucks in the future?
I talked about the shop floor equipment, but I see parallels to the autonomous trucks outside.
Okay, and you, as Schnellecke, you see both as an opportunity, actually, to jump in there.
Yeah.
And connected maybe to that question, Carsten, what do you think about the freight forwarder platforms that are now existing right now already, like Shipeo and so on, and some of them are really getting big right now. Yeah, how do you see that development in the startup environment right now?
To be honest, in the current business, it is a must for every transport logistics specialist to use that platforms. Yeah. In times when the shortage of available cargo space is constantly increasing, and on the other hand, supply chains are moving more and more from push to pull, we have the short-term demand defines the timing of the supply chain, the logistics service provider must ensure a high degree of flexibility and so on, and that can help. This is exactly what the platforms are good for, because they match supply and demand in real time, and can help to serve peak loads especially. We ourselves are participants on these platforms. We use Timocom and Transporion. Transporion is more or less a Volkswagen-based platform, but Timocom is an open platform, and we use those platforms really to handle our peaks.
Okay, so that's already now for you a very important tool to use.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is also because of the business strategy of Schnellige. In the past, we had huge numbers of own trucks, but we have decided a couple of years ago, instead of invest into the assets, our strategy is to rent the capacity on the market, because it helps us to get a better flexibility on the costs. And this is important in a very volatile business, what we see based on the COVID-19 pandemic and so on.
And let's stick to the startup issue for a few more minutes. How do you in general cooperate with startup or handle startups within Schnellecke or in connection with Schnellecke? Do you have any secrets on that, or any things that did work good for you or things that did not work for our listeners?
Yeah, we made both experience, good ones and bad ones. And it started 4 years ago, since 4 years, sorry. We are working very closely with startups. And the biggest challenge from the beginning was to change our culture inside the company. We talked about the augmented reality picking with a Google Glass, or the smart container tracking, or we have also image recognition software for quality assurance. And all those solutions were created by startups. Yeah. And we were not started with from the scratch, but they presented us in pitchings some solutions, and we thought about how can we use this technology to bring it to our business, to create user acceptance, to create values, and to bring it to a serial process. And the path to this point was a learning curve, and not all approaches have resulted in success, as I said. First of all, as I said before, it was really essential to establish a culture within the company that made a cooperation with a startup and Schnellige promising. You know, this is like black and white. Yeah, Schnellige is a traditional company, family-owned company with more than 75 years experience, and a startup which has just in focus to create business opportunities very fast, very strong, and especially the failure culture was the biggest differentiation between startup and our company. So we took our learnings from the process, and today we actively do scouting technology on the market. We look at the startups behind it, and we like to have them to pitch for us. Our digital innovation mint offers a governance model that allows us to drive things out, draw conclusions, and readjust the scope. And in all developments, we focus as much as possible on customer benefits, and thus create a basic for success right from the start. And any other approach is also not targeted for us, as we make our investments very selective due to the low margins typical of logistics. Yeah. So at the end, it is a success story, and I can suggest to all logistics service providers and all companies to try it out and make experience to work with startups. It opens your minds, and it brings you to new ideas to think.
Yeah, absolutely. I can just agree with that. But it seemed that you also changed a little bit on the Schnellecke side, a little bit of culture or something like that. How did you do that? Or can you give us some examples on what you did there?
Yeah, we tried to change a lot inside our company on cultural aspects, yeah. And we are not finished yet. This is a continuously process, yeah. And all starts with the, as you typically know from change management programs, all starts with the awareness. We started with creating awareness in all our management levels because of new market players like Amazon or like Uber for taxi or like Airbnb for hotels and so on. And with these samples, we created or started to create the awareness in the management heads. Yeah. And in the second phase, we started with an agile approach to bring innovations to our business. And in these agile projects, we changed also the methodology from the kickoff to delivering and service, which is usable for a serial process by using an iterative methodology. Yeah, we started and we failed. We learned, we started again, failed, learned again. Yeah, so it is a life cycle, as you know, from DevOps. Yeah, and that really changed step by step the mindset of our organization. And parallel on this, we started with digital innovation summits. We created marketing to speak about our innovation projects. We teached digital trainees, digital agents, and we put those digital agents as ambassadors into our business. So that they are able to, or we enable them to build a link between our classical, traditional business and our agile thinking, acting, working IT organization.
I understand. So that they could actually see the daily problems and find solutions for it, right? Okay. All right. That's very good. Thank you very much, Carsten, for all the valuable insights that you could give to our listeners and to myself. I'm also always very interested in those kind of talks. And it was really a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining the Logistics Tribe.
Thank you, Marco. It was a pleasure for me, too.
All right. That was the Logistics Tribe podcast episode with Carsten Keil from Schnellecke Logistics. I hope you got some interesting insights and ideas from today's show. We'll be back next week. Make sure you follow and subscribe to the Logistics Tribe podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. I'm Boris Felgendreher. Until next time.